rejecting my premise. Are you like spending your free time watching debates on TV?
Hey, there may have been a couple to watch, you know, around this time of year.
Don't chase that rabbit. If we start talking about politics, if you think the Alabama fans came unglued, you just watch for those comments.
Don't go into the dark tunnel. Don't go into the dark tunnel.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast.
Time is ticking before you know who arrives on the scene this year.
That's right.
I mean, if the boss says it, you know it's true, okay?
There you go.
I'm not one to argue with Bruce Springsteen.
I don't think you can. How do you present that argument, no matter the topic? How do you present that argument against the boss? I mean, let's be honest.
The guy's a living legend. So.
That's right.
So mark your calendars, finish your Christmas shopping, because there are bowl games coming up, and there's a stretch where you're not going to have time to go shopping because there's going to be so much football to watch.
That's a great point.
We want to jump right into the latest news and notes in football and around the sports world. Big news out of North Carolina, where Drake May, a stellar quarterback, is, I think he's a redshirt sophomore, is foregoing the remaining years of his eligibility to enter the NFL draft. Darren, you like this decision or not?
You know, even though he's a redshirt sophomore, so technically he's got those 3 years, it still seems odd to me, but it seems so odd that you got to wonder what's the underlying. You know, whether we like it or not, is there something, does he feel that he's got to capitalize on the moment? You know, maybe he's inside the program every day. You know, you don't want to speak ugly in any way, but does he feel that UNC has kind of reached its potential? And so, you know, rather than transfer, I've got my 3 years, I'm eligible for the draft, I might as well take advantage of it. You know, I'm sure it's with much advisement that he didn't just all of a sudden decide that he's going to, but it concerns me when someone makes a jump that feels too early. But the one thing I will say is he has gotten a lot of attention, so he will get attention going into the draft. He's not just kind of this undercard name that people, you know, that will have to do something amazing outside of the combine or even within the combine. I'm assuming he'll be invited to the combine, probably already knows that. So I'm sure there's some things on his end that kind of make sense, but it feels a little uncomfortable to me. Don't know that I would have advised him to do so, but nonetheless, here we go. I mean, what are your thoughts?
It's a gamble.
Yep.
He's going to skip the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and I can't help but wonder if some of what impacted his decision was he began to hear the music playing, and he realized it's probably time for me to go ahead and step out. Because guess who's coming to the Duke's Mayo Bowl?
I thought you were going to say he decided to get out to ensure that he won't have mayo dumped on his head. Because I got to be honest, that would affect my decision. That would make me – I'd get out early.
You would opt out. And if you were coaching a team in that bowl game, you probably would refuse the bowl invite, Darren. I don't think people realize how much you detest mayonnaise.
I'm telling you, I don't even think we would come up with a fake PR reason. I think we'd just be honest. Nope, not getting mayo dumped on my head. We're just going to take our 3 weeks of practice and move on. Thank you.
So I'm curious, Darren, what do you use as a substitute for mayo? Because mayo is good on so much stuff. What's your substitute?
For starters, to use a debate term, I reject your premise. Mayo is good on nothing. I don't, you know, in rare instances where I think it's necessary on a sandwich, I will use mustard, or just go with nothing, which when you're at Subway, what are you talking about being looked at like you're crazy? They really kind of do. When you don't want vinegar. You don't want, no, I don't want anything. Thank you.
You're so just a
mustard
dry
is kind of my thing.
Mustard, yeah. I like mustard. Mustard is good.
I think mustard works. It's got a good taste.
Rejecting my premise, are you like spending your free time watching debates on TV?
There may have been a couple to watch, you know, around this time of year.
Don't chase that rabbit. If we start talking about politics, if you think the Alabama fans came unglued, you just watch for those comments.
Don't go into the dark tunnel. Don't go into the dark tunnel.
Well, we also have some sad news to mention concerning a great tight end from the Tennessee Titans, Frank Wycheck, part of that Music City Miracle, part of their Super Bowl appearance where they lost to the Rams. But Darren, you mentioned this earlier today, wanting to reflect a little bit on Frank Wycheck's career, and you being from Tennessee. What are your thoughts on, I mean, so young, gone way too soon, but what do you think about when you think of Frank?
Honestly, you can't help but think of the Music City Miracle. That is first and foremost. You know, growing up in a town or in a state that was not a major league sports state, you know, which is the largest majority of the South, doesn't have that NFL team, you know, to pull from outside of like Louisiana, Texas, and of course Florida. But you know, there's a huge section that there was nothing for years. And so when you get that team to come to your town or come to your state, you know, all of the excitement of, even though I think it was their third year in the state, because they played a year in Memphis and a year at Vanderbilt Stadium, first year in the new stadium, there was so much excitement. And then for them to make the playoffs and that game to end, I mean, it's one of those moments, if you walked through that process and you were there, it really is a you kind of, you remember where you were kind of moment. And he obviously, he was very, very pivotal in throwing the, it was a lateral, just in case there are any Buffalo Bills fans watching him. It was definitely not a forward pass. He threw it excellently, and that will always be the first thing that you think of from a football perspective. But then the other side of that, just very, very quickly, is the person that Frank Wycheck was. Never heard anybody that encountered him in public have anything negative to say about him. Super nice to everyone he encountered. A fun guy to be around from everything you hear about him. I was actually at a golf tournament once, and this was after he had retired from football and had started working at a radio station there in Nashville doing sports radio. And he and I rounded a corner at the same time, and our golf carts were coming pretty close to one another. He had a smile and big eyes about the same way I did, but we waved it and moved on. And then I was able to meet him later on that day, and just a super, super nice guy. And like you said, the saddest part is just wait, 52 years old, entirely too young, to be gone from this earth. But an incredible athlete, and from everything you hear, a great person. So a sad day, but awesome also to be able to talk about it and have those memories of the things that he brought to this earth while he was on it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that brings comfort and peace, especially when you can talk about someone who lived an exemplary life.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate you sharing those thoughts, Darren. And our thoughts and prayers are with Frank Wycheck's family during this time.
Absolutely.
Let's move over to college basketball. We haven't talked a lot about college basketball because football has dominated the conversation, but the basketball season is underway. And here are the latest rankings, and we're just including SEC teams. For the top 25 in men's basketball, we're throwing in, of course, Oklahoma and Texas because they're basically almost in the SEC, and we're going to count them because,
that's
frankly,
right,
if we don't, there's not much to talk about in basketball.
That's a great
Oklahoma,
point.
Oklahoma coming at number 11. Big win against Arkansas. I was very impressed by that win. Tennessee coming in at number 12. Kentucky coming in at number 14. Underperforming by Kentucky standards. And Texas at number 19. Over on the women's side of things, South Carolina is maintaining a grip on that number one spot, Texas number 5, and then LSU at number 7. So those are the SEC teams that are currently ranked as of December 11th, latest AP rankings. Now, there's some bigger news that came out this past week, and I don't know about you, Darren, but I watched the Heisman Trophy presentation ceremony on Saturday night, and I wondered, how much longer can they drag this out?
I kept expecting them to have somebody walk us through each one of their, peewee football fields, and like over there in that corner, that's where he, and over there in that, because man, they hit. It was quite the process. You remember the good old days where it was about a half hour and they were in the, what was it, the downtown touchdown club or the downtown football club or whatever it was. And they called the name and everybody applauded. I kind of miss those days. I don't know about you, but
I know it's how TV functions. I'm curious about the ratings and if they can track, but knowing what I know now, if next year, if I watch it, I'm just going to tune in at, what did it start at 7 o'clock? I'm going to tune in at 7:55.
That's exactly right.
Cause I watched it with a group of people and we were all kind of looking at each other thinking, we're watching the clock. When are they going to announce the winner? When are they going to announce the winner? Yep. And they basically took up the whole hour before they announced the winner.
So. Yeah. It was interesting. I will say that, but if we're just going to be blunt, not necessary. A lot of that could have been condensed. You could have interviewed the families, interviewed the coach, given the award and moved on. It was too much. I think, not to speak for you, but I think that's what we're both saying. It was just a bit, it all could have been done in a half hour, our original point.
Agree completely.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Heisman, the winner is Jaden Daniels, quarterback from LSU. So congratulations to Jaden Daniels. Well, well deserved. The haters are going to hate, but you look at Jaden Daniels compared to past Heisman winners, first in yards per game, first in passer rating, first in total QBR, first in yards per attempt, first in rushing yards per attempt, first in rushing yards per carry, tied for first in interceptions thrown. Incredible season, incredible run for Jaden Daniels. Only the second African American to win as a quarterback, Andre Ware being the first one. So historical on a number of different levels. Mm-hmm. He won, I think there are 6 voting regions. Jaden Daniels won 4 of those. He lost the far West, which is no surprise because they were rallying around their guy, Michael Penix.
Michael Penix, right.
A little surprising he lost by 1 vote in the Midwest. I'm really curious. I wish we could get the list of how people voted. And then 122 voters left Jaden Daniels completely off their ballot. I'm not sure what they were watching this year.
Yeah. I can't remember honestly if it was this past year or 2 years ago. We had a conversation about some of the issues with Heisman voting and the fact that you have, being a Heisman voter is a for life thing. It's never taken away from you. Once you're invited to be a Heisman voter, you're a Heisman voter. And there are people that turn in ballots every year that don't even cover college football anymore. And so you have to wonder how much that factors in, because I would assume that number of people that vote on the Heisman that don't cover college football anymore is 122, because that's the only way you could not have him on your ballot. I mean, even if you thought Michael Penix Jr. was the number one, or Bo Nix was the number one, or Marvin Harrison, whatever, to completely leave him off, obviously you weren't watching football. I mean, that to me, that's the only explanation. And I would say the same about the other guys that were up there. The ballots that they weren't on, how in the world? I mean, because there were some incredible talents sitting there waiting to see who won. And then ultimately, what we agree with, Jaden Daniels was called. But how can he not be on a ballot? I mean, it makes no sense.
And you're right. If I'm not mistaken, there were people that left Michael Penix off their ballot, Bo Nix off their ballot.
Yep.
I really have a struggle with Marvin Harrison Jr. being on that short list, but That's for another discussion. It raises a question, Darren. If people aren't watching football, you know, it's not a matter of who do you like or what region are you trying to support. It's about doing your duty, your responsibility. Right. If you have a vote, you watch the football games. You even if you weren't going to vote for Jaden Daniels, leaving him entirely off your ballot or leaving Penix mm-hmm. or Bo Nix off your ballot is I almost borrowed that word from The Princess Bride. Inconceivable.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before. There needs to be some serious constriction of that list anyway. You know, it was such the way that the parameters with which Heisman voters are selected is still dependent upon that regional. Well, you know, you got to have somebody from the West Coast because that's who's going to see Oregon play. And you got to have somebody from the East Coast because that's who's going to see, you know, Penn State play or whatever. And that just doesn't exist anymore. You can watch anybody play anytime, anywhere. So there needs to be some constriction and some kind of annual qualifiers that you have to fill out that says, this is what I do. This, you know, obviously, if you're a former Heisman winner, okay, regardless of any opinions about what you do and don't watch, you want it, you get to vote, get it. Outside of that, if you're a media voter, you should have to fill out something every single year that says, this is where I am, and this is what I'm doing, and this is how it relates to college football. And if you don't meet those criteria, we appreciate the years that you voted, but we're going to find someone to replace you. Thank you very much. I don't understand why that's as complicated as they make it.
Well said. I can get behind that 100%. Another bit of history connected with Jaden Daniels winning the Heisman Trophy. Dylan Cruz, the phenomenal baseball player from the LSU men's baseball national championship team.
National champions, right.
Won the Golden Spikes Award as the best player in men's college baseball. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman. That combo of from the same school, a player winning the Golden Spikes and a player winning the Heisman has only happened one other time before.
Wow.
1988, Oklahoma State, Robin Ventura, and Barry Sanders.
That's a pretty good pair. That's nice company.
That's elite company.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. That's good stuff.
And it would be even more elite if Robin Ventura hadn't lost his mind that game and rushed Nolan Ryan. That's the image that people think when they hear Robin Ventura. Oh, that's the guy that.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of history, let's go ahead and go to This Week in Sports History.
London 1901, the first ping pong championship takes place in the London Royal Aquarium. Over 200 players entered the tournament that took place over 3 days. Major Ritchie, a successful tennis player, was the organizer of the event. Many wondered why such attention was being given to an infant sport that was most likely a passing fad. Vivian Eames was crowned the ladies' champion, winning the best two out of three. The men's championship was an exceptionally long best 2 out of 3 championship featuring a rally that consisted of 162 shots between the two contestants. Ultimately, R.D. Ayling and his unique long-handle vellum racket would prevail in claiming the championship. Each winner won a Challenge Cup, a medal, and 4 additional prizes. R.D. Ayling would go on to win the All England Championship later the same year.
Oh, thank you.
Ping pong. That was an interesting choice. I never really thought about that. It made me think go ahead.
Go ahead. No, everything you has go to ahead. Start somewhere.
It made me think of an American institution, a great invention from the Atari company. 1972 was the debut of Pong. Remember Pong?
Oh, absolutely.
How many hours did you play Pong?
Just to say, what we thought was one of the most exhilarating things ever created, right? There wasn't much more excitement than that. I remember playing Pong while listening to my cassette tape of the Miami Vice soundtrack. How's that?
Wow. I remember being a kid and every day going out and playing with the other neighborhood kids, and we were always outside playing somewhere. Oh, yeah. And we'd stop in at someone's house for lunch. And of course, you knew when it was dark, when that light street light came on, you had to be home.
It's time to get home.
But there was this one day where people were like, "Hey, so-and-so, you got to come see what they just got." And we went into the living room and they were playing this game called Pong. Mm-hmm. And there's a group of us. Think of the kids like from the Sandlot. Mm-hmm. And we just, our mouths drop and we're just, what is this magic?
Absolutely.
This is incredible. How do I get one of these?
Yep. My first video game console I ever owned was a Texas Instrument. And the football game it was black and white, or it was on a, it was like two color. The football field was the standard, just lines. And 11 blocks on each side would line up the exact same way every single time. You would hit a bar. Those 11 blocks on each side would collide. Then you would hear a whistle blow and words would come across the screen to tell you what happened. That was my exciting first football game. You gained 4 yards. Yes.
Nice. You know, back then we still had to have an imagination. Those Atari 2600 games, basically you were looking at blobs on the screen. Yeah, exactly. And so we had to imagine, and then Nintendo comes along and our imagination begins to decrease and decrease and decrease. Anyway, let's leave that alone, because that's not what we're talking about on this show. We're not talking about politics, and we're not talking about the the history of video games in the United States. Let's move on to the transfer portal, which is still pretty big news, even though we haven't heard any major announcements lately. Darren, what's the latest on the transfer portal?
Well, the one big kind of piece of the puzzle from an SEC perspective, you know, we talked last week about Billen. Don't even know where that came from. How about Dylan?
Dylan. Okay.
Billen, yeah, that's his twin brother that most people don't know about.
Did he just sign with OU? He just signed with OU, right?
Yeah, I think so. Dylan Gabriel, who announced his transfer from Oklahoma, now has a landing spot, and that is at the University of Oregon with Dan Lanning. I guess he figures it worked out pretty well for Bo Nix. He'll give it a shot too. So that's really kind of the big piece of the puzzle that has fallen into place as from a transfer portal perspective with SEC teams. But we just want to, again, run through, kind of give a quick update. Alabama now has 5 players. I believe last week when we talked about Alabama, we said they had 0. Mm-hmm. They have 5 players now in the portal. Arkansas has 14. Auburn at 8. Florida at 16. Georgia is now up to 10. They now have 10 in the portal. Kentucky has 14, LSU 9, Mississippi State 12, Missouri 8, Oklahoma 11, Ole Miss 7. Here's the big change, or one of the big changes. South Carolina is now out in front. They now have 18 players in the transfer portal. Tennessee is up to 9, Texas at 7, Texas A&M at 14. And then Vanderbilt, who was tied for first last week, is now in sole possession of second this week at 17, one behind South Carolina. And just to kind of very quickly look at the flip side of the portal, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Vanderbilt lead the way in receiving on the transfer portal. Both have 3 commits that are now from the transfer portal that they have received various different positions, but they are the top 3 that in the SEC. They now each have 3 commits from the transfer portal. And all of those numbers, both are both the numbers of players leaving and the numbers of players that are coming in to our SEC teams from the portal, those are scholarship players 24/7. There are several websites out there that track transfer portal activity. Some of them will attract walk-ons and different various states of players, but 24/7 they track only scholarship players. So that's those numbers from, and that is from 24/7 Sports.
That just goes to show how passionate sports fans are, including viewers of this show, because Darren, there have been times people will say, where are you getting your numbers from, or where you get that? And so you have to, when you give these rankings and these numbers, you have to put a disclaimer out there, because we know that somebody's going to say, where are you getting those numbers from?
And it'll be one of two things. It'll be a South Carolina fan saying, well, South Carolina, now they don't have, or it'll be, you know, somebody else saying that the school they don't like has, well, they have more than us. You've got that number wrong.
Or if you get the number wrong from Alabama, it'll be an Alabama fan saying, you guys are just so biased. You guys, look at that. That guy's got a Vanderbilt flag behind him. Come on, man. Exactly.
That LSU guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Bunch of crybabies.
See, I think we heard that. I think we've heard that before. But anyway, that's
I just got to embrace it.
Hey, you know what? They're listening and they're talking. Even if we're crybabies, they're engaging in conversation with the two of us crybabies, and we love it, right?
Hey, you take the passion out of the game. Absolutely. What do you have? And I appreciate fans from different teams being completely dedicated and so passionate about their team. That's one thing we liked about Doug the Buckeye. Neither one of us like Ohio State.
Right.
And, you know, we listen to him talk about Ohio State, and sometimes we have to roll our eyes, but he's passionate about his team.
That's right.
Good for him.
As misplaced as that passion may be. Oh, wait, no, never mind. He's not even here to defend himself this week. I won't say that.
You better be careful. You might start taking more swipes at Vanderbilt.
He'll come in throwing around math lessons and writing right hooks.
Was it Peter Tosh who said those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones?
Exactly.
Did you just call me a derogatory name under your breath just now?
I don't. Thanks. So.
No.
If I did, it was a slip. I didn't.
Well, I thought for a moment you said under your breath, "Bless his heart," and I thought, "Oh boy."
Well, bless your heart. You heard me wrong. I don't know.
Now, Darren, you know what that means. All right, let's talk about the coaching carousel, because obviously we've exhausted the topic of the transfer portal.
It's going in every direction. The topics look like Pong. That's what's...
Slow that thing down. Is this one of those State Farm carousel, or State Farm? State Fair carousels? I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh! Who is writing this script on this teleprompter anyway?
Apparently Jake from State Farm. I don't know.
Somebody can't spell farm from fair. So what in the world? When do we start letting Ole Miss fans write our script?
Hottie toddy. That's what's on the teleprompter. I don't know.
Hey, hottie toddy has gotten many people through a long, cold winter.
That's exactly right. My cough is now better. All right, so the State Farm coaching carousel.
So when you were 3 years old, what did your mom give you when you had the flu?
No, not everybody had hotty toddies. What? I don't know. Are you saying that might be weird? What?
And what was the gel that, or the what's that substance they'd rub on your chest?
Vicks Vapor Rub. Yeah. The worst stuff. I may almost rather eat mayo than have that rubbed on me. That was the worst stuff in the world.
Hey,
but it did the trick.
It did the trick.
Yep.
Now, what other things it caused us to have later in life?
Who knows? Well, you know, now they make these kids today, they're so spoiled. Now they make a patch. You just put it on. You don't even have to get it rubbed on. I mean, what's that about? Come on.
All right. What's going on with the coaching carousel?
So the State Farm Vicks Vapor Rub Coaching Carousel, that's our sponsors for this. Manny Diaz is leaving his position as the Penn State defensive coordinator to become the Duke head coach. Obviously, Duke has seen how previous stops worked. I don't know. And it's decided that they're going to take a chance. I don't know.
There's they don't play Ohio State and Michigan, so maybe it's okay.
You know what? That's a valid point. That's a very valid point. Bryant Vincent, who was the New Mexico offensive coordinator, is now Terry Bowden's replacement at UL Monroe. Bronco Mendenhall, who has had stops at both BYU and Virginia, is now the head coach at New Mexico. I find that interesting. And just a very, very quick side note, I know we're going to run through these pretty quickly because they're not SEC related, but you know, he went through such a horrible experience at Virginia with having the players killed. I wonder if he needed a step back just away from everything. And this was an opportunity to get in on a simpler level, to not be on that P5 level and just get back into it being all about the players and kind of that true love of the game kind of thing. I wonder if that's where this kind of made sense for him. So I'm excited, and I hope that's the case, because what a horrific experience for that team. And all of those coaches to go through when that happened to those players there at Virginia. So good for him that he's got this opportunity for a fresh start at New Mexico. Jay Solvell is now the head coach at Wyoming. He is was the defensive coordinator, but is replacing Craig Bohl, who retired, who is a legendary coach at the University of Wyoming. Bob Chesney, who was at Holy Cross, is now the head coach at James Madison. John Summerall, who was at Troy, is now the head coach at Tulane. So that's a very interesting move. It'll be exciting to kind of see what happens at Tulane. And then, speaking of, you don't know what people are thinking sometimes when they make head coaching hires, Derek Mason is now the head coach at MTSU. Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see how that works out for MTSU. Derek Mason has a passion for the game, and you can never argue about his knowledge of the defensive side of the ball. Hopefully for all parties involved, it's a fresh start, just like we talked about, and it goes well. But I will say on the front end, I have my doubts. But anyway, that's
yeah.
Because it takes a lot at Vanderbilt for a football coach to get fired, especially before the season's over. Just saying. Yeah. Anyway, so the only two jobs that are still open is Nevada and Troy are the only two jobs on the FBS level that are still open right now.
Are we hearing anything about possible candidates for those jobs?
There is so much. You know, the Troy job just opened because John Summerall was pulled to Tulane. And there's so much else going on. It just isn't getting any buzz, just to be very honest right now. Most likely both of those jobs, what little bit I've read about them, honestly, both of those jobs will probably either be coordinators that are on that group of five level, or there's been a couple of mentions of maybe some FCS head coaches that may make that jump up to the FBS level, but not any specifics at this point.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that carousel will continue to turn and turn with
absolutely
more names dropping, a couple schools still out there that are looking for coaches.
Yes.
That takes us into our bowl games that begin this week. And we've got including one here in Northwest Louisiana across That's the river right. in Shreveport, the Independence Bowl featuring Cal versus Texas Tech, which is a pretty decent matchup, two 500 teams. Texas Tech typically travels well. They've got a great running back who announced he's coming back. So he'll be fun to watch. Don't know a whole lot about Cal, although the Cal coach was great public relations, talking about when they found out they were coming to the Independence Bowl. He talked about how good the food was going to be here and how great the hospitality was going to be. So so someone gave him a really good script of what to say.
That's right.
But that's not the only game. This Saturday, December 16th, we have the Myrtle Beach Bowl, Georgia Southern versus Ohio. A little MAC action there.
That's right.
The Cricket Celebration Bowl, Howard versus Florida A&M. The RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Jacksonville State versus the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana. The Avocados from Mexico Cure Bowl, Miami of Ohio versus App State. Another more MAC action there.
You didn't sing the song, just for the record. Avocados from Mexico. I mean, how do you not sing the song? But anyway, go ahead.
Well, Darren, out of the two of us on this podcast who sing, the one who doesn't is wearing purple and gold.
Yeah, we were kind of in a conundrum because you don't necessarily like to sing and I don't like avocados. So we were really kind of in a weird spot there. But anyway.
You keep singing, I'll eat the guacamole.
Deal.
We have the Isleta New Mexico Bowl, New Mexico State versus Fresno State, and the Starco Brands LA Bowl, UCLA versus Boise State. So that's your lineup for this Saturday, December 16th.
A beautiful thing.
A lot of college football. And if you're focused more on the pro game right now, I think there's actually three NFL games on Saturday as well. So,
yep.
Football fans, this is a great day. This is why you cannot wait to do your Christmas shopping on December 16th. Right. You've got a full slate of football games to play. Speaking of bowl games, we want to mention again our annual Bowl Mania. So, Darren, tell people how they can get involved in this. What do they need to do?
Well, we have once again created an ESPN Bowl Mania group. It is the Brew and Shavers Bowl Mania group. And I'm going to do the double point. There we go. If you look down in the video description or in the show description, there is a link that will take you directly to it. If you don't have an ESPN account, which is a free account, all you have to do is click on the link. It'll instruct you to sign up using an email address. And then you're in. You're going to pick every single bowl game. Right up into including the national championship. Obviously, you can't pick that yet because we don't know who that's going to be. But you'll pick every single bowl game, and it's just a straight up who's going to win, who's going to lose. There's no odds or anything like that, no point spread. We're just doing straight up who's going to win, who's going to lose. And again, it's down in the description of the show. If you're listening right now, if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, all you have to do is click on Show More. It'll be in that link as well. You can click that on your phone, and it will be on our link tree on Twitter. We'll put out a post about it on Twitter, have it there as well. Instagram, we'll do all of that. As you're hearing that, if it hadn't happened, it'll happen here, or as you're hearing or seeing this, it'll happen soon. All of those will be there. You click on those links. We'd love to have a big group of people be a part of it with us this year.
Yeah, it's always fun. Bowl season is a great time of year. So we'd love you to be a part of that with us. It's going to be quite challenging because we're going to hear about more opt-outs, and that's going to change the outcome for some of these games. So keep up to date on that. We will give you the opt-outs as soon as we hear them on each episode. Now, from here on out, since we are getting into a very busy time of the year, we have Christmas and we have New Year's, our schedule is going to change a little bit. We're only going to do one show per week for the remainder of the month of December. Now, we encourage you to watch those shows. And remember, we're trying to get to 50 likes. I know that's not much, okay? We're not ESPN. We're not Fox Sports. We're not some of these really well-known podcasters. We're just a couple of local Louisiana guys that like to talk about sports. Absolutely. But we're trying to get to that 50. So if two more people, if you would like, subscribe, that would mean a great deal to us. That'd be like a Christmas present you're giving to us. And all you got to do is click that subscribe button. So,
yep.
But we appreciate those of you who have already done this. Continue to spread the word, like, comment. We love the interaction. Yep. And new episodes come out every Tuesday. So, Darren, you got anything else to say?
Subscribe. I love it. I agree. It is a Christmas present. I think that's a beautiful way to say it. It's just subscribe and give us a Christmas present. We'd appreciate it greatly.
Bless your heart. We'll see y'all next Tuesday. Take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or text to our text line, 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. See you next week.